We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the Gospel of Mark and to the chapter 9. The Gospel of Mark and the chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, we're reading from the verse 30. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked him, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And he took a child, and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, ye shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good. But if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Amen. We know that God will bless this reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. We do bid each of you of them. Let us just bow together in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the grace of which we have been singing. We pray that thou wouldst open up our eyes, that we might behold its breadth, its depth, and its height. To that end, Lord, we commit ourselves and we commit the rest of this meeting into thine hands. Bring to our remembrance the words that thou would have us to say. And Lord, we pray that by thy Spirit, that thou wouldst give us not just words of explanation, but thou wouldst give us words of application. And that by thy Spirit, that thou wouldst apply them to individual hearts. Lord, we long that everyone, no matter their background, as they leave this meeting, they might have to say, I heard the voice of the Lord speaking. So, Lord, be with us and be thou our help, for we pray in thy name. Amen. Mark's Gospel, the chapter 9. I want to draw your attention to the last verse of that chapter, Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. And we read there in the verse 50, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. One of the most horrific battles of the American Civil War was fought on the 2nd of October, 1864. Almost 8,000 Union soldiers attacked the small town of Saltville. As its name indicates, it was a vital source of salt. Amongst other things, salt was used in those days to preserve army rations. Though the Union forces outnumbered their enemies by 8-1, they were driven back, and over 300 of them were slain. As well as being a preservative, salt in ancient time was often used as a form of currency. Roman soldiers at one time were paid in salt. In fact, our word salary comes from the word salt. If you were a bad soldier, it was said of you that you were not worth your salt, or you were not worth your salary. In Bible times, it was used by the Jews to cement covenants of friendship. In 2 Chronicles 13, Abijah, addressing the men of Israel, he said, "Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, and to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt?" It was used to seal covenants of friendship, and it was also associated with grace. In our text, the Lord, urging his hearers to take salt, he was inviting them here through grace to enter into a covenant of friendship with him. He was willing to make them his friends. And you see, through grace, the Lord reaches out the hand of friendship. He longs to enter into a covenant of peace with you. Indeed, setting forth the purpose of the Savior's death, Paul said in Ephesians 2, verse 16, "It was that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby." And the idea inherent in the word reconcile is to turn enemies into friends. And the Lord, through grace, longs to enter into a covenant of peace with you. He longs to replace friction with friendship. In fact, when we go into the book of James, we find Abraham there being called the friend of God. And you see, by nature, you are the enemy of God. You have broken His law. You have resisted His words. You have despised His claims upon your life. But tonight the Lord reaches out the hand of friendship, and He longs tonight to enter into a covenant. He longs to make you His friend. You can know tonight His forgiveness. You can know tonight His favor. You can know tonight His fellowship. The Lord, in grace, He longs to make you His friend. He longs to put away your enmity and to bring you into a relationship with Himself. And so I want this evening just to draw your attention to salt here as a picture of grace. I want you to notice firstly here the necessity of God's grace. In His ministry, the Lord Jesus often used everyday objects to set forth truth. Having exhausted the image of the shepherd and light, He then picked up a simple crystal of salt, urging them here to have salt in themselves. You notice here that it is necessary for preservation. He said in verse 50, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it?" While salt is one of the most common and least thought of substances, it is of vital importance. Experts tell us that it is necessary for life itself. Even the very beasts of the field recognize this great truth. In the western prairies, buffalo and deer are often seen making their way towards the great salt deposits. Salt is even necessary for many of our daily bodily functions. A lack of it can affect our balance. It can affect our blood pressure. It can even cause hypothermia. You see, without salt, we will become ill. Without salt, we will eventually perish. And like salt, the grace of God or salvation is a necessity. Without it, your soul will not only become more and more polluted, but it will eventually perish. Indeed, in Matthew's Gospel, we find five foolish virgins coming unto the wedding feast. In closer examination, we discover, that they were dressed in the same robes as the wise virgins. Sitting down, they both slammed together. However, while they had much in common, yet we read in Matthew 25, verse 11, afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And these five foolish virgins, having no oil or grace in their lamps or in their lives, they were shut out. And you see, the grace of God is not only exceptional, but it is essential. Without God's grace, without God's salvation, your soul will perish. Now the gardener going into the market, he can purchase the very best plant. Bring it home, he can put it into the very best soil. By fertilizing it, he can place it in the sun and he can shelter it from the wind. However, if he fails to water it, the plant will begin to wither. And then eventually, it will die. And as the plant cannot live without water, and as man cannot live without salt, my friend, neither can you live spiritually or live eternally without the grace of God. Without His salvation, your soul will perish. You see, you can take yourself and you can plant yourself into the visible church. You can adorn your life with many good works. But when you've done all of that, if you have not God's grace, if you have not been to the cross, if you have not been washed in the blood, your soul will perish. You will be lost. Just as man cannot live without salt, but will die, neither can you live eternally without the grace of God. Without God's salvation, it doesn't matter how good you are or how good you think you are. My friend, your soul will perish. Your soul will be lost. You see, my salt, it was necessary for preservation. It was also necessary for purity, urging them to have this salt in themselves. He said, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his greatness, wherewith will ye season it? Salt is an antiseptic or a purifier. In ancient times, before the discoveries of modern medicine, it was used to purify not only meat, but the human body. In the days of the prophet Ezekiel, it was the custom to salt or to bathe a newborn baby in a bath of salt. Burning its way through its tender flesh, it killed every infection. Again, in the Old Testament, the priests presenting their sacrifices, they covered their sacrifices with salt and soaking into the meat. It purified it, killing every impurity, killing every germ. And you see, the grace of God entering into the life, it not only comforts, but it cleanses the heart. It cleanses it from every mark and defilement. Indeed, setting forth the way of salvation, Paul said in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The word justify there simply means to make just or to make righteous. In other words, he said, through the grace of God, they, despite the greatness of their wickedness, they will be made righteous. You see, the grace of God not only changes man, it cleanses man. My, it washes away every defilement. A writer on one occasion walking across the valley of dead men, he was amazed when he looked back, because he thought all the time that he was walking in a straight line. But when he looked back, he discovered that his path was extremely crooked. Eventually falling asleep and awaking after a number of hours, he was even more amazed. Because as he woke and he looked back, he saw there was not a trace of his footsteps left. You see, the tide coming in, it had washed them all away. And if you only take time tonight to look back over your life and to look back over it in the light of the Word of God, you will discover that, like that man, your path has not been straight. My friend, you have veered from God's law to the left and you have veered to the right, and your path is extremely crooked. But through the grace of God, your sins can be purified. Your sins can be washed away. Herbert Booth, the fifth son of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, wrote, "From all the sins over which I have wept, cleansing for me, cleansing for me." And my friend, tonight there is cleansing at Calvary's cross. Yes, your sins are many. In fact, I tell you tonight that your sins are far, my, greater in number and far greater in degree than you could ever imagine. But through the grace of God, they can be washed away. Through the grace of God, your heart can be cleansed. And your heart can be made white. You see, my salt was necessary, not only for preservation and purity, but you know, it was also necessary for pungency. Describing the grace of God, he said in verse 50, "Salt is good." Good salt not only purifies, but it prevents food from becoming insipid and tasteless. Have you ever been put on a low-salt diet or a no-salt diet? Now your food is not the same. You sit down at the table, you pick it up, and you try to eat it, and it just doesn't taste right. Job said, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt?" You see, salt entering into the meat and mixing with it, it takes away the dullness of its flavor. It provides spice, making it tasty, making it enjoyable. And like salt, salvation or grace entering into the life, it brings flavor. Saturating the life, it makes it pleasant. And more than that, pleasing. Indeed, the Lord breaking the chains of Israel and setting them free. He said in Psalm 126 in the verse 2, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." And the grace of God setting their hearts free. My, their mouths were suddenly filled with laughter and their hearts filled with joy. You see, God's grace entering into the life, it does not bring sadness. It brings spice. It fills it with joy. It fills it with pleasure. It fills it with gladness. Apparently, a professor in Oxford University a couple of years ago said that we're near that stage when people will all live to they are 115 years of age. But someone asked a very relevant question. They said, "That may be so, but will it be worth living?" An increased lifespan is of little value unless that life is worth living. And my friend, it is Christ. Christ alone that makes life worth living. Just as salt going on to the meat, salt going on to the food brings taste, brings flavor, my, to it. So Christ entering into the heart, He changes the life. He brings flavor to the life. He brings purpose. He brings hope. He brings excitement. He brings joy into the life.
And could I say to you tonight, yes, you may be out in the world, you may be enjoying its entertainment, but I want to tell you, my friend, you have never lived. It is Christ and Christ alone that makes the life worth living. It is Him that makes joy in the heart. You see, God's grace is like salt. It'll change your life. It'll cleanse your life. It'll make your life worth living. Oh, my friend, do you know His grace? Have you got this salt, this grace within you? It's not enough to look at it. You need to have it in. Oh, the necessity of God's grace, as you can't live without salt. You can't live without God's salvation. But not only do we notice here the necessity of God's grace, but surely we notice also the nature of God's grace. In using the image of salt to portray His grace, the Lord here was using something every Jew would have been familiar with it. Using it in their food and using it in their sacrifices, they would have been aware of a number of things. They would have been aware of the activity of salt before the invention of the steam engine. Travel, for the most part, was extremely slow. Ships, depending on the power of the wind, their journeys from continent to continent took many weeks, months, and at times it took even many years. And in order to preserve their food and keep it from decaying, they saturated it with salt. The salt entering into the meat, absorbing the water. It makes its environment too dry to support harmful mold and bacteria. You see, the salt entering into it, it preserves the meat. It stops it even from decay. And like salt, the grace of God or salvation entering into the life, it not only purifies the life, it preserves the life. It stops it slipping away, corrupting, and going back into its sin. And he's seeking to write this truth upon the hearts and minds of the persecuted saints. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The word kept there is a military term. It literally means to garrison about. And as such, he was saying here that God's power would literally garrison them around as an army, stopping them from slipping back and going astray. You see, saving the soul, the Lord then surrounds the soul. He keeps it by His mighty power. Alexander the Great, on one occasion, besieging a city built on a high rock, the people looked over their walls and they jeered at him. And laughing, they cried out, unless your soldiers have wings, we fear you not. And unlike those people, the believer is set on an even higher rock, so high that the devil and his imps cannot destroy them, cannot my corrupt them. You say, preacher, I'd love to get saved, but I couldn't keep it. I would trust Christ and I would begin to corrupt, as it were. I'd begin to fall my away. And my friend, if it was you and depended on you, that's true. But God's grace preserves man. It preserves woman. It not only purifies them, but it keeps them. It keeps them day by day. And unlike earthly salt, which can lose its flavor and lose its power, the grace of God will never lose its power. And if only you trust Him, if only you let His grace, as it were, salt your heart, my friend, He'll cleanse you. And He'll keep you. He'll preserve you through the troubles and trials of life. He'll preserve you as you walk through a corrupt old world. And He will keep you on until that great day when He presents you righteous before the Father's throne. Oh, such is the grace of God. Not only the activity of salt, but surely we notice the availability of salt. Unlike gold and diamonds, there is an abundance of salt. In creating this world, my God in His wisdom strew it in vast profusion across the continents. Not only are the hills and mountains of Sweden white with the snow out, but being packed beneath with salt, they are white, my beneath. Indeed, such is the richness and the vastness of the deposits of salt in Russia, that in times past it has been described as having been built upon a salt cellar. Even the oceans that surround us on every side are filled with salt. There is a vast, vast, abundant supply of salt. And like salt, there is no limit to the grace of God. It knows no end, and it knows no measure. Indeed, speaking of it, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 1 and the verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And that word rich there carries the idea of superfluity or of abundance. You see, God's grace is infinite. It's immeasurable. It is without limitation. The writer wrote, His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power is no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. You see, unlike the oceans of this world, the ocean of God's grace has no shore. It stretches beyond the horizon. There is a vast, vast store of grace. You see, my friend, it doesn't matter how great your sins are. It doesn't matter tonight how horrific they have been. There is grace abundant. There's grace tonight to wash you. There's grace tonight to preserve you. There's grace sufficient to bring you to glory. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm a hopeless case. People think I'm all right, but they don't know my heart. Let me tell you, my friend, there's grace enough and to spare for you this evening. Not only the availability of salt, but surely there is acceptance by salt. In Leviticus 2, we find that when salt was added to the meat offering, the Lord then accepted it. And the grace of God brings acceptance. It turns away His anger, and it brings His smile. You see, my friend, tonight, if only you accept His grace, then He'll accept you. Now you'll be able to enter into His presence. You'll be able to cast your burdens at His feet. He will hear your prayers. He will answer even your prayers this evening. Oh, such is the nature of God's grace. Have you experienced it? Have you felt its cleansing power? Have you known its keeping power? If not, my friend, take salt. Take His grace even this evening. Not only the nature of God's grace and the necessity of God's grace, but surely we notice here the neglecting of God's grace. His grace being as salt, He was reminding them here there was a danger in defiling it. He said in verse 50, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and peace one with another. Around the Dead Sea there was an abundance of salt. However, becoming mixed with gypsum from the surrounding lagoons and rocks, it acquired a stale and alkaline taste. And losing its flavor, it was fit then only to be taken and to be cast underfoot. You see, when you mix this salt with anything else, it became useless. Absolutely useless. And while the grace of God is powerful, yet when it is mixed with anything else, it becomes powerless. It loses its ability to cleanse the heart. You know, the Council of Trent in Session 6, Canon 10 states, If anyone says that it is by the righteousness of Christ that men are formally justified, let him be accursed. And rejecting the word of God, the Church of Rome tells us, yes, salvation is by faith, but it is faith plus the church, or faith plus good works, or faith plus something else. But as when the salt was mixed with anything else, it lost its power. So, my friend, when you mix the grace of God with your works, your churchianity, or anything else, it loses its power. It's not able to save you. It's not able to change you. It's not able to cleanse you. Oh, whatever that other thing is, then, my friend, take it and cast it out of your life. Because if you don't, then you'll never be saved. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Not faith plus your works. Not faith plus the church. Not faith plus some other imagination of your mind. But by faith alone in Christ. My friend, what are you trusting in this evening? What is it you're resting on for heaven? If it's not grace alone, then you're without hope. Not only was there danger in defiling it, but there was danger in disregarding it. For a piece of meat to perish, you did not need to go out and destroy all the salt in the world. All you had to do was ignore the salt. Just neglect to put it upon your meat, and the meat will begin to stink and it'll be lost. And you see, to be destroyed, the grace of God does not need to be rejected, but it needs only to be neglected. Indeed, Paul recognizing that, taking up his pen, writing unto the Hebrews, he said to them, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And you see, tonight, to perish, you don't need to reject God's grace. You don't need to despise God's salvation. You don't need to, trample it down beneath your feet. All you have to do is just neglect it. And the rot in your heart will continue until it perishes. And your soul is lost for all of eternity. Maybe you're patting yourself on the back and you say, preacher, I'm not like those who hate the gospel. I actually like the gospel. I love to hear it preached. But not yet for me. My friend, that's all you need to do to perish. Just as without salt the meat would perish, so without taking God's grace and applying it to your heart, you'll perish. And you'll be lost for all eternity. There was also a danger in dumping it, because he said, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. He reminded them that when salt loses its flavor, there's no other way of savoring or seizing it. It alone is able to cure and preserve, only salt. And besides the grace of God, there is no other way of salvation. Tramp it beneath your feet. And my friend, there's no other hope. Your soul will be lost. You see, God's grace tonight, it's like salt. It's able to cleanse you. It's able, to preserve you. But you need to have it in you. You need to take His grace. You need to have it applied to your heart this evening. Oh, His grace as salt is available. But you need to apply it. Oh, my friend, tonight, as God's grace is set before you, as you hear of the way of salvation, what will you do with it? Will you tramp it beneath your feet? Go on in your way. Become more defiled. And perish. Or tonight, will you reach out and have enmity taken away, enter into a covenant of friendship and peace with Christ, and know the forgiveness of your sins. Oh, tonight there's grace, but take it, apply it, and know His preserving, purifying power, even in your life this evening. Amen.